If I'm to ask you to recommend a particular brand of laundry liquid or power, what would you recommend to me? Pardon?
Persil.
Persil. Why Persil?
It's the one I always used.
One you always should. Obviously, it works and it's good. Any other brand? Does anyone use Persil or is that?
I use Persil and it's recommended by consumer.
All right. So it must be a very good detergent and works well. Any other brand? EcoStore. Okay, that obviously with the name, obviously. You like the lemon one. Any other brand? Okay, well, there are all kinds of brand out there. What has got to do with the sermon today? Well, let me start. Let me start by sharing you a story. A woman was visiting a silversmith shop and watched the silversmith held a piece of silver over the fire and let it heat up. He then explained that in refining silver, one needed to hold that silver in the middle of the fire, where the flames were the hottest. In order to burn away all the impurities, the woman thought about God holding us in such a hot spot. And then she recalled a verse which says, "He sits at the refiner as a refiner and purifier of silver." She then asked the silversmith if it was true that he had to sit there in front of the fire the whole time the silver was being refined. The man answered, "Yes," that he not only had to sit there holding the silver, but he had to keep his eyes on the silver the entire time it was in the fire. If the silver was left even a moment too long in the flames, it would be destroyed. The woman was silent for a moment. Then she asked the silversmith, "How do you know when the silver is fully refined?" He smiled at her and answered, "Oh, that's easy. When I see my own image in it. When I see my own image in it, the silver reflecting the image." Now, in the book of Romans, chapter 8, verse 29, it says, "For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of Christ." Can you see the picture? God holding you and I as that piece of silver and is being put in the hot spot, right? Some of us may have need some hot spot to be refined. And then slowly, God see his own image in us, the silver, the silver. That is the refining process. Now, of course, the Bible, I have no idea why it's also used laundry powder. Obviously, it is a cleaning process. So we may be either refined by the fire or being washed by the laundry powder. I don't know which of you prefer, but one sounds easier, maybe. So a good question that you and I may ask as believers, say, do believers experience God's refining fire? And the answer to that question must be a yes. Yes, we do indeed refine by God through some hot spots. It may not be a comfortable answer, but yes, it is. The next question there may be, what is the evidence of the Lord's process of purification in your lives? For this, Persil is the one. After washing, clean. That's the evidence that the powder works and the whole process works. But what about refining fire? What is the evidence of us as God's people that we have actually been refined by God, and that God can actually see
his image in us and through us. There are quite a few Bible verses that talks about refining fire and so on. But one particular one is in today's passage on from Malachi. Malachi, let me say that again. In Malachi chapter 3, verse 3, he says, God will purify the sons of Levi and refine them like gold and silver. Even though it specifically mentioned the sons of Levi, but I believe this verse applied to all of us as God's children, sons and daughters, all. Now, in another passage we heard today, that Mary and Joseph told Jesus to go to the temple for purification. So can you see the link between the various passages? There is the process of sanctification, purification. Though it was done by law, but in this particular case, we are talking about God refining you and I through the fire so that you and I, silver and gold, are pure. Now, when we experience God's refining fire in testing or trials, sometimes we may not like it. In fact, Isaiah used the word the furnace of affliction. So sometimes these trials, these testing is not comfortable. And if you remember those three friends of Daniel, it was downright dangerous if you put into the furnace. But the book of Hebrews chapter 12 verse 5-11, it says, "My sons and daughters, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son and daughter whom he receives." So there is the chastening process. God goes through those things with us so that we can be better and that we are, in fact, the sons and daughters of God because God loves us. God's heat, putting us through that heat of refining fire, is so that we can be cleansed of the unrighteousness. Now, at the end of this Malachi passage, I'm going to read out the New Living Translation. The one we read out earlier was the NIV version. Let me read out the New Living Translation of that same verse because I want to talk about that particularly. It says, "He will purify the sons of Levi and refine them like gold and silver so that they may present to the Lord offerings in righteousness." Do you hear the word "so that"? So that. Often, "so that" is called the purpose clause. The purpose clause. When they put into something that there is a purpose to be brought out so that we understand what exactly it means. So that. So what is the purpose of all this melting and refining and purifying? It's so that, and that's the purpose. So that they may present to the Lord's offerings in righteousness. When we go through refining fires and testing and trials and affliction, whatever that may be, it is so that our unrighteousness can be burned away. And so what does that translate exactly? And I believe that by burning off the righteousness so that we can be a body of true worshiper. True worshiper. And when I say worship, I don't mean just come along to church and do the singing and play different instruments and so on. All those are good. But what the Bible tells us about being a true worshiper is more than that. And I believe this whole process of refining, of testing, is to turn each one of us to be a better and true worshiper. So ultimately, the refining purpose is worship, to worship God. so that we can burn off all the unrighteousness that may inhibit us to worship God truly. So what is, in fact, worship? Now, Jesus talks about true worshiper, and he doesn't refer to just the kind of music we have, whether it be contemporary, traditional, organ, guitar, whatever. One of the modern day choruses or songs that we come across, you may have sung that before. There's one stanza, it says, "Purify my heart, let me be as gold and precious silver. Refine as fire, my heart's one desire to be holy, set apart for my master, ready to do your will." That's the verse of a particular song. We might have sung it before. So what is that one desire? What is that to be holy? And what is that to be set apart so that we are ready to do the will of God? And I believe that is what true worship is. That is what is the refining process is all about, so that we can be true worshiper. In the Gospel of John chapter 4, Jesus said, "The hour is coming and it's now here when the true worshiper will worship God in spirit and truth. For God is seeking such people to worship him." God is seeking such people like you and I can be worshiping God in truth and in spirit and be refined and burn off all the unrighteousness. So, let me bring us to the area of application. What does that mean for us in terms of a true worshiper? And how may we be getting there and do it? So let me just share a few application points. Jesus said that we are known by the fruit of the tree, and we are familiar with that. The fruit of a tree will tell us. And the same way, likewise, a true worshiper should exemplify the fruit through their everyday life. In other words, whatever we do in everyday life, not just on Sunday, but between the Monday and Friday and even Saturday, that we bear the fruit of righteousness. Now, here are some key characteristics that we may take away to how we may be and act as a true worshiper. One, a thankful heart. A thankful heart. A life of worship God, that we are thankful for what we have, what we God blessed us with. And God required us to have a thankful heart and an attitude. Thankfulness changed many things. We see things differently if we have a thankful heart. When we love God and have a thankful heart, we are able to rise above different circumstances and we find that we may find ourselves in, even in tough situations, that we may still be thankful. Then we need to have a sanctified, holy life. A sanctified, holy life. If we are to be a true worshiper, then we are to be holy people, set apart, holy in speech, in thought, and in deed. Without holiness, none of us will be able to see God. Holiness is a necessary condition. And when we allow Christ to reveal, to be revealed in our lives, then we have that hunger in us for purity and for righteousness. Well, we have a thankful heart. We have a sanctified, holy life. Then we need to have a repentant heart. A repentant heart. God is looking for people who constantly come with a repentant heart, seeking for forgiveness, seeking for a new way of living, and knowing that only by the grace of God that we can enter into God's presence. King David was such a person. He made many mistakes, but he always came back to God and seek repentance and forgiveness. And that's the heart posture that we have. And that even though he makes mistakes, he is called the man after God's own heart. Then we need to have a humble heart, a humble heart, that we should be committed to humbly serving and following Jesus. A true worshiper recognizes that without Christ, we can do nothing. We can do nothing if we are apart from Christ. God detests pride. And if we ever get a place that we think we are better than other people, then we need to think twice and think carefully. Then we need to have an obedient heart, not just a humble heart, but humble ourselves before God and be obedient to his word. A true worshiper is obedient to God's command because they don't want in any way to grieve God or quench the Holy Spirit. God considers obedience far more important than any external of worship or even sacrifices. In the book of Samuel, it says, "Does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as in obeying the Lord?" To obey is better than sacrifice. To heed is better than the fat of rams. Then, as a true worshipper, we need to be a lover of God's word. A lover of God's word. It's God's word that we discover more of who God is and his character and his nature. If we don't read the scripture, we cannot find out more about who God is. It's about his character and his nature. God can speak to us in many different ways, of course, but the most important way, I believe, is by bringing revelation through the reading of his word. Turning to the word of God every day and studying it and meditating on it help us to know God better and also to know ourselves. But the last one, a true worshipper has a passion for God's presence. God's presence. In early scripture, it says that, and all other songs we sing, it is better to be in the house of God than to anywhere else. We need to recognize that it is in God is our life, our health, our peace, our prosperity, our hope, and our joy. He has created us so that everything we need is in God. So, let me bring it to a close. For those who do not believe God, I would say to them, they need to come back to God for the very first time, if it's today or if it's next day. Others, we who believe God and have been a Christian for some time, we need to think about what God is trying to do in each of our lives. What are those refining moments that are happening in our lives? It may be hot spots, but what God is doing in each of our lives? We need to strip away things that are inhibiting us to have a good, strong relationship with God. We need to strip away all these unrighteousness, even sins, so that we can be holy, set apart, and to worship God in truth and in spirit. How we may learn to be a true worshiper. How may we improve in our worshiping God, not just on a Sunday service, but how can our life be a living sacrifice so that we can be a true worshiper? And are we spending time with God daily? Meditation, prayers, quiet time, even just walk through the parks or whatever we may be doing, that we know God's presence is with us. So dear brothers and sisters, when you're faced with refining fire, or you're being washed by a person or whatever else, remember, don't just ask God, get me out of this situation, get me out of this hot spot. He may, but he may choose to keep you there for a bit longer. But rather, don't ask God to get you out of the situation. But then ask God, what if I'm in this hot spot, if I am in this refining fire or this spinning washing machine, whatever, what specifically do you want me to get out of this situation? So don't ask God to take us out of the situation. But while you're in the situation, ask God, Lord, what are you teaching me? What are you showing me? What you'd like me to get out of this specific situation? And so may we be refined by God day by day, moment by moment. Amen.